Thank you, Strings. Church of the Warm Heart, good morning. Great to have you on this beautiful, just plain beautiful St. Patrick's Day. I see some green out there. Yay, if the person next to you does not have green, don't pinch them, but just tap them on the shoulder, just to remind them. There you go. Sign in, tell us that you're here. Nicole, you have a pad. Could you just raise it in the air? Woo! Sign in on your red pad and pass it on down the row. That lets us know who's here, who's not here, who to check on. If you're joining us online, we appreciate every time that you come in. Wherever you might be worshiping with us today, we got people all over the country. I was told yesterday that we have a congregation of one in Maryland. So thank you. Thank you, Maryland, for joining us. Appreciate you. For the rest of the announcements, I want to borrow... Keith, can I borrow that for a minute? Thank you very much. We're going to do a little melodrama, all right? If you remember the old melodramas, what was it, like a damsel and a hero and a... All right, and a train robber, all right. So if it would go like this, can you go, ooh? If I go like this, the good guy can hear, oh. And at this, it's a green mustache, but go with it. Can I hear the boos? All right, so I got a couple announcements with each of these. Thank you to the Strings for being here, for the ladies who were helping out. We appreciate you every time that you're here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whoa. To the manly men who helped out yesterday, if you walk out to our Family Life Center, to the left you see our pump house. That roof also needed repairs, but we didn't hire that one out. We did that one in-house, and they worked all day yesterday for that. So thank you, thank you, thank you to the manly men who did that. The sign says the city was going to have the parking done by the 15th. It's the 7th. I didn't check what year, I guess, March 15th. But I appreciate the adventures in parking. I think the parking lot across the way now is now open, so that you could use that as well. But hopefully very soon we'll have our parking back. Let's see. All right, this one's going to sound sexist. To our cleanup day yesterday... Thank you, thank you, thank you. We had a whole bunch of ladies and a few gentlemen out there helping. So thank you to those who participated in our cleanup day to get this place ready and spruced up for Easter. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. We got to be this next one.
Don,
you're going to be our manly man up here. Can you come on up and share what you want to share?
Oh. Gee, that's... Well, I have some good news.
Yay!
As of this morning, when Diane checked her computer, we have raised $26,508 toward the roof repair. That's 49.0889% of our goal of $54,000. Now, I've been telling you something wrong, and I want to correct that.
Oh.
I've been saying that we were going to do the first part of the roof repair was going to be the education wing. Wrong. The shingle roof over the sanctuary entrance, the pastor's parlor, and the narthex is being done first. That's in this area here. Since it is a lower cost, and it resolves the actual leaks that we have in the roof. So we want to get that done first. It's scheduled for Friday, March 22nd, and it's anticipated to take one day. Much better performance than the road crews and getting the parking lot done. Okay, so then the flat roof on the education wing will be done sometime between mid-May and onward, depending on how they get done over here, and the actual time frame will have to be coordinated with the construction and weather and all those things. City water main project. That's scheduled for the church area from mid-May till sometime in mid-July. And we all need to give a great, great big thank you to Ron Pridmore and his trustees committee for getting on this roof as quickly as they did and getting it resolved. And thank you to those of it that have donated to the roof fix the roof repair. Thank you.
Last one. Oh, no, I did that wrong. Hold on. Boo. So a couple times a year, I get up and I say something like, beware of online scams. Beware of emails asking for money. Beware of anything that might have our names on it because it's not from us. This past week, how many of you got an email or a text from the church asking for money? A couple different emails that came out with my name or the church name or vice versa. Some had my picture. Somehow they got information, directory information. That's not us. It's not us at all. So again, this is just a reiteration. Please don't respond. Someone told me that they got as far along as they asked for three $500 gift cards to help with cancer. And if you got bit, feel free and call the cops. They're not going to do anything. This happens all the time. But just to say it, don't. What I need you to do is this. Can you put your right hand in the air? Right hand in the air. If you're joining us online, right hand in the air. We can see you. This is a two-way camera. All right. All right, can I get our pledge on the screen? Will you please say with me, in the name of God, I will read my emails carefully and double check with the church office if something seems off. Pastor Mike will never ask for gift cards or other donations over email or text. In loving, kind, Christian way, he will ask you to your face. Thanks be to God. Amen. Yay. Thank you, Keith. Now, if I ask for Doritos or something, buffalo wings, that is probably me, but never ask for gift cards. Claudia is our worship leader. You've been sitting over there patiently. Thank you. Do you have any announcements for our church family today?
I have a couple, and a top of the morning to you. All of us claim to be Irish a little bit today. I would like to point out all of the announcements on the back of your program. And do notice that the Good Friday service hasn't happened yet. It says it's the 9th. It's actually the 29th. So you haven't missed anything. It still comes after Monday, Thursday, and before Easter, like always. So, and the what's update? What's
it is.
The Easter egg hunt? Is March 30th. It's not April 8th. It's going to come before Easter? Okay. Wow, that's good. All right, so do notice that the Easter egg hunt is also, who knows, gremlins. Same people that got hold of our address list, I think, also got hold of this. So, yes, do adjust those two dates, please. Mary Methodist, you're good, right? This one's right. Okay, Monday, Thursday is going to happen on Monday, Thursday. And going along with that roof update, which is good news, the quilters also have a plan. They are offering a quilt to be raffled off. All the proceeds will go to the roof repair. That is going to start next week. Yes. The quilt will be on display in the Family Life Center. Tickets are available from any of the quilters. Quilters, raise your hands out there. I know you're scattered around. And I'm sure they'll have a table set up also. So do plan to make a wonderful $10 donation to the roof, and you might get a quilt out of it. You might not. But either way, it's going to a good cause. I think that's
Thank
it
you,
for
Claudia.
Me.
Let's take a moment, greet those around us in Christian love, and then remain standing for the opening hymns. Thank you.
While you are still standing, I hope that you will join with me in the Nicene Creed. It's on page 880. If you are short like I am, you might want to read it from the book, because invariably I'm behind someone tall and I can't read the screen. But for those of you who are not height challenged, it will be on the screen also. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Unless you're a kiddo, if you're a kiddo, fifth grade and down, come on up. This is your time in worship. Oh, good to see you, good to see you. But he's got green on, he's got green on too. Good to see you, welcome. Oh, got one guy right, coming right behind you. Come on up. Thank you very much, Green. My wife dresses me well in the morning. It's very nice. It's very nice. What is today? Today's a kind of a, I'm looking out there. There's a lot of green. St. Patrick's Day. Do you know who St. Patrick was? Not personally, but have you ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask these folk out here. St. Patrick was born in? You're right, England. He was born in England. But he was captured by Irish pirates as a young boy. Like 16, 17 years old, Irish pirates came to England. They snatched up a few people and they turned them into slaves. And they snatched, grabbed, got them, kidnapped them, brought them back to Ireland. And he had to do all sorts of jobs for them. And he got to know them for about 10 years. He was over there in Ireland. And one day he was able to escape. And he hopped on a boat back for England, back home. But his mind kept thinking about all those people back in Ireland who did not know the right way to live or who didn't have Christ in their hearts. If you have Christ in your heart, you usually don't go out kidnapping people for slaves. No. All right. So he went back, believe it or not. He went back to those people, and he wanted to teach them about God the Father. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's we talk about God in three different ways: God the Father, the Creator of all, and Jesus Christ, His Son. We call Jesus. Jesus is fully God, fully human, and the Spirit, the God that talks to all of us. And He was trying to figure out a way to teach them about three types of gods, all kind of wrapped up in one. So, Nicole, can I borrow you for a minute? Today is the day of borrowing people and all their stuff. Can you just stand right here for me? You are a kiddo. I'm not going to kidnap Nicole. She's already here. I don't have to do any of that. God the Father, could you just put that right there? Like right in front of you. Flip it around. God the Father. God the Son, can you kind of hold it? I looked for painter's tape. It didn't quite happen. Oh, you see what's coming up? And God the Spirit. What's that look like?
It looks like a clover.
It looks like a clover leaf. So St. Patrick went around Ireland. Why they looked like hearts. I love that. I love that explanation. So he went around Ireland teaching them about God's love. And everywhere he'd go, he'd pick up the clover, because there's clover all over Ireland. They call it the Emerald Isle, the Green Island, because this is just everywhere. And he taught them about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we still remember him 1,700 years later because of this. Thank you, Miss Nicole. Can you pray with me today? Let's pray. God above, we ask your blessings upon these little ones, that as they learn about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that we are reminded of your love every day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Thank you. Thank you, choir. Thank you, bells. As we come to prayer time, our tradition is that we have a time of communal prayer where we share what's on our hearts, whether out loud or just from the heart. This is a time for you to share your needs and your desires in this prayer time, followed by the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. The pastoral prayer today will be a variation of the famous prayer, the prayer of St. Patrick. But what is on your hearts and minds today? Lord, as I arise today, may the strength of God pilot me, the power of God uphold me, the wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me, the ear of God hear me, the word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me, the way of God lie before me. The shield of God defend me, the host of God save me. May Christ shield me today, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of all creation. Let us join together in the prayer of our Savior. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As willing and able, let us stand for our next congregational hymn, Open My Eyes That I Might See.
Our scripture this morning comes from the New Testament, near the end, it's James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. It's on page 231 if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, or it will be on the screen. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Thanks be to God for God's word.
Thank you, Claudia. I'll be honest. I don't want to do the sermon. Nope. Wasn't looking forward to this one at all. We're doing a sermon series out of a book, Spiritual Disciplines. It's a classic. They share 12 Christian disciplines that we, people of the faith, have done for centuries. Graces like prayer, meditation, fasting, study, simplicity, and so on. And in these last three, we're down to three. We're going to talk about practices that we do with other people. Celebration, worship, confession. You see, I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. Maybe that's it. I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. I think I learned a little bit of this deflection from my father, whom I love. But when my father needed to backtrack a story or to somehow get back into the good graces, he couched it in terms that I find myself now using. I remember my father saying things like, I may have. It could have been that. Such as, I may have been harsh with you about your grades. It could have happened that I forgot your birthday. I may have ran over your cat. It could have happened that I bounced the checkbook. So, saying something happened that might have been wrong or a mistake, but never really an apology in there, if that makes sense. We are people who do not like to admit when we have fallen off the path. Well, we have an ancient practice of confession, a social mechanism for fixing relationships. The bonds that we hold in a relationship, they're fragile. And when severed, they need to be mended. And this is steeped into the fabric of our faith. At the core of our faith, God wants a relationship with us. That was the whole point of creation. Out of Genesis, God made a covenant with Abram. I'll be your God. You will be my people. A chosen nation. Here's my laws. Here's my love. And we have been in a covenantal relationship with God ever since. And the whole tenor of Scripture, if you read it from beginning to end, the same theme comes back and again and again and again, humanity falling away from the covenant and then coming back, of backtracking and coming back. Our God, it is said in Scripture, is a forgiving God, quick to bring us back into relationship with Him. I'll just pick on one prophet right now, Daniel, prophet from the Old Testament. Daniel in the den of the lions, Daniel. if you know that story. The whole nation got walloped by the Babylonians, taken off into exile. And they remember their nation. They remember Jerusalem that's now a heap of ruins. They could be mad at God, but this is what Daniel says. And this is cherry-picked out of chapter 9. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act for your sake, my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Grandma doesn't give out cookies because the grandkids are good. Grandma gives out cookies because grandma's good. Confession brings us to forgiveness. And 500 years after Daniel, Jesus came to fix this sin thing once and for all, nailed it on a cross. And today's reading out of the book of James, like Claudia mentioned, this is right toward the end of the New Testament. And chapter 5 is up right at the end of the book of James. These are the closing words to the people. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. Healed in our relationships, healed in our spirit, healed in our soul. So why don't we confess more often? We think that's a Catholic thing, right? We don't do that confession thing. We don't need you, and you're right. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. I don't have any special relationship that you don't. You can go straight to God yourself. I'm happy to help. Why don't we do it? Maybe it's pride. We're concerned about keeping up appearances, and we'd rather risk offending God than looking foolish in front of others. We have no fear of facing God. We just don't want to face one another. Someone might think less of me. Someone might know that I don't have it all put together. Let me tell you a secret. No one thinks you do anyway. Or better yet, they're not even thinking about you, because guess what they're thinking about? Themselves. Don't worry, folks. Newsflash. Don't let pride step in the way of confession. Maybe we fear being vulnerable. We are trained, never let them see you sweat. Fake it until you make it. I've been taught that if we confess our sins, someone will use those sins against us. What really happens in a lot of ways is that when you confess, it's out in the open, and it loses that power. It loses that leverage over you. We like to show our pleasant side. We don't like to show what's underneath. I want to show you my happy, smiley self, not my other side. We have this image of ourselves, and we don't want that tainted. There were several of us here in the sanctuary about a week to 2 weeks ago, and we were up here. We were looking up there, and we were young to middle age to wherever I am, 50, whatever that is. And we were looking up at the screen, and we were all standing here in a row, and oh, that can't be good. All of us in this line, we're looking up there like, ooh, that's really what people see? We don't see that in the mirror. No, that's something else. I don't want to confess. I don't want to show my faults because I don't want you to see what I really am. The point of confession is not to remind us ourselves how despicable we are. That's not who we... The whole point of confession is not to show how despicable and lowly we can be, but just to remind us of a few relational truths. If the whole point of confession is to say how much that we stink as human beings, we've missed the point and the purpose. What's the point and purpose, I hear you ask? To bring us back into a proper relationship with our kids, with our spouse, with our God, with ourselves. Because this is what happens. Confession teaches us humility. And we could use a little bit of humility. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." We learn in the art of confession to promote our own humility. We keep ourselves real. We keep ourselves human, relatable. If I come off as perfect, if I come off as higher than thou, I'm not going to have a great relationship with my kids. I'm not going to have a great relationship with my spouse. It's hard to have a relationship with something so perfect besides God. Confession also teaches us connectedness. I don't know if it's this generation or if it's always been, but we have a plague of unrelatedness. We have a hard time connecting with others. We have shallowness of relationship. Let's be clear, we're only friends on Facebook, not in real life.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to get past that wall. How's the weather? How's work? How's the fam? How's the car? Who cares? What about the real stuff? Do you have someone in your life that you can share a little bit of your soul? Do you have someone in your life who can call you into account? Do you have someone in your life who knows the real you? I pray that somehow our church can be a little bit of that for you. Who handles your soul? And the last one I'll just hit today, the confession promotes our own watchfulness. When I tell my friends or my neighbor or my spouse or my kids, hey, I'm working on this, all of a sudden I have an accountability partner, someone to help me do whatever it is that I need to work on. And on this account, confession is of great importance to us. I am not likely to repeat the sin if I know you're going to ask me about it the next time we see each other. We become allies in this great battle for our spirits. You don't have to fight alone. Now, just to be clear, I'm a person who likes to find balance. Some churches, and maybe you belong to one or two, love to emphasize how horrible you are. Steeped in the judgment of God, fire and brimstone, fires of hell. Yikes. Some churches just love to emphasize the grace of God. God loves you no matter what. Your sin, we don't even talk about sin in this church. Like, it's all good. It's all good. Yikes. Somehow we got to find the balance in between the two. They go together. You're not as bad as you think you are. You're not as great as you think you are either. And yet, God still loves you. Your family still loves you. We still love you. And confession brings healing. Because I'll be honest, I'm going to mess up as a spouse. I'm going to mess up as a father. I'm going to mess up as a friend. I may or may not have made some mistakes as a pastor, as a disciple. I may have made a mistake as a pastor. And confession and forgiveness, they are the salve, the glue to any relationship. If you're a person who can't forgive anybody, you're not going to have any friends. Everyone messes up sometime or another, right? If someone wrongs you, even the slightest, I'm never going to talk to them again. You're never going to talk to anybody except the new person, and just give it a month or so and they'll be out too. I like how Proverbs 28 touches on this. This is Old King James now. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. It's true in life, true in relationships, true in our faith. To close out this sermon today, I want to use our United Methodist Book of Worship. Believe it or not, we have a Book of Worship. It has services for all aspects of life. It has prayers. It has services for, you know, there's weddings in here, there's funerals, there's baptisms, there's prayers for every kind of occasion. I've used it recently to go bless someone's house. Someone asked, can you give a blessing on my car? I'm like, that one's not in here, but we'll make it up. Kind of out of this. But there's a whole section, longer than a lot of the other services, prayers of confession. Reminding me that every now and then I should probably open this up and have a prayer of confession. As it is St. Patrick's Day, we're going to share with one that's in here from Ireland, written by a pastor. The pastor's up there on the right, preaching to some folk. He did his best to bring about peace and reconciliation during the troubles of the last century, when the Protestants and the Catholics were killing each other in the name of Christ. Maybe you'll hear a little bit of that story in this prayer. I may have plagiarized this from the Book of Worship. Please join your voice with mine. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way of peace. Come into the brokenness of our lives and our land with your healing love. Help us to be willing to bow before you in true repentance, and to bow to one another in real forgiveness. By the fire of your Holy Spirit, melt our hard hearts and consume the pride and prejudice which separates us. Fill us, O Lord, with your perfect love, which casts out our fear, and bind us together in that unity which you share with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As we come to the time to the offertory, I'm going to invite the ladies to come up. We appreciate the gifts and the offerings and the tithes that you bring to our congregation. You make the ministries of this place happen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us take the offertory with the gift of music. Please rise. And please share in the prayer on the screen. God of all wisdom, we bring our gifts to be dedicated this morning. We pray that you might open our ears, open our hearts to hear where you call us, and respond with trust and courage, so that we might find healing in our lives, our families, and our world. May these gifts bring healing to your creation. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing song, Oh Happy Day. Time.
God is good.
We hope that you join us for our coffee hour just outside these doors to the left across the alley in our Family Life Center to get to know each other a little bit more. You are more than welcome to join us. Thank you to those who joined us online. Thank you to all our music. Thank you to our guests that you might be hearing at the postlude. We appreciate you. Thank you to the folk upstairs who make this service happen. On the St. Patrick's Day, our benediction, we will share together probably familiar words to many of you. But let us close out today's service. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. And the family of God said, Amen. Amen.